We accepted. Ann and I completed Peace Corps training in Southern California and headed for Ecuador in September 1968. We lived in the Amazon with the Shuar, whose lifestyle did indeed resemble that of pre-colonial North American natives. We also worked in the Andes with descendants of the Incas. It was a side of the world I never dreamed still existed. Until then, the only Latin Americans I had met were the wealthy preppies at the school where my father taught. I found myself sympathizing with these indigenous people who subsisted on hunting and farming. I felt an odd sort of kinship with them. Somehow, they reminded me of the townies I had left behind. One day, a man in a business suit, Einar Grieve, landed at the airstrip in our community. He was a vice president at Charles T. Maine Incorporated, Maine, an international consulting firm that kept a very low profile and that was in charge of studies to determine whether the World Bank should lend Ecuador and its neighboring countries billions of dollars to build hydroelectric dams and other infrastructure projects. Einar also was a colonel in the U.S. Army Reserve. He started talking with me about the benefits of working for a company like Maine. When I mentioned that I had been accepted by the NSA before joining the Peace Corps, and that I was considering going back to them, he informed me that he sometimes acted as an NSA liaison. He gave me a look that made me suspect that part of his assignment was to evaluate my capabilities. I now believe that he was updating my profile, and especially sizing up my abilities to survive in environments most North Americans would find hostile. We spent a couple of days together in Ecuador, and afterward communicated by mail. He asked me to send him reports assessing Ecuador's economic prospects. I had a small portable typewriter, loved to write, and was quite happy to comply with this request. Over a period of about a year, I sent Einar at least 15 long letters. In these letters, I speculated on Ecuador's economic and political future, and I appraised the growing frustration among the indigenous communities as they struggle to confront oil companies, international development agencies, and other attempts to draw them into the modern world. When my Peace Corps tour was over, Einar invited me to a job interview at Maine headquarters in Boston. During our private meeting, he emphasized that Maine's primary business was engineering, but that his biggest client, the World Bank, recently had begun insisting that he keep economists on staff to produce the critical economic forecasts used to determine the feasibility and magnitude of engineering projects. He confided that he had previously hired 3 highly qualified economists with impeccable credentials, 2 with master's degrees, and 1 with a PhD. They had failed miserably. "None of them," Einar said, "can handle the idea of producing economic forecasts in countries where reliable statistics aren't available.